Amen. Amen. Amen, dear Lord. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. And Lord, we offer up you all the praise. We thank you. You care for us more than we can ever imagine. And so, Lord, we just look to you. And we thank you for your word that you communicate to us, the depths of your truth. And we thank you for that. And I pray, Lord, you just anoint me with your spirit to speak words of truth, and each heart would be open through the Spirit to receive words of truth. So we just thank you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We'll be looking at 1 Corinthians. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 23. Good memory verse. All right, half the verse anyway, but it's a good memory verse. We preach Christ crucified. All right, that's a good one to hold on to. We preach Christ crucified. You'll see that the title of the message is Base Knowledge. It's always, you need to know where to start. You go someplace, you need to have the base knowledge. You need to start at the right place. If you don't start at the right place, you can never end up where you're supposed to be. You can have a thousand discussions going on, but if you don't start at the right place, you cannot come to the right conclusion. And so the base knowledge we have that the Lord's given us in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians is we preach Christ crucified. We've been looking at the New Testament books in context with the book of Acts. And the reason we've been doing that, because the New Testament books were written in that historical context. And that's important because in the books of Acts, things are hopping. Okay, they are hopping. The church is growing by leaps and bounds. There's all sorts of things happening. And so that's in the context these books are written. They weren't written in some kind of a sterile atmosphere, in a classroom study. That's not how they were written. Things were happening. And so that's kind of how we want to look at these. And so we see things are happening in Corinth. Things are really happening. I mean, things are really happening in Corinth. Okay, we'll see. Now, Corinth was a seaport town. It was a seaport town, and it was known for its immoral and corrupt culture. How would you like to be known for that? This was the Las Vegas of the old world, all right? It was the law. People talk about how corrupt that the Roman Empire was and how immoral it was. Well, the Roman Empire designated Corinth as the most corrupt. Okay, so party time in Corinth, all right? That's where it was. But what happened is the church moved in. Church moved in. Holy Spirit comes, and you got people coming to know the Lord out of this corrupt society. And so it's not surprising that 1 Corinthians was written, and 1 Corinthians is known as a letter of correction. A letter of correction. Where would you write a letter of correction to? A place of immoral and debased culture. So that's something you should read. Little things you remember, like we talked about over and over again. I shared with you about the book of Romans. It's systematic theology. I mean, if you want a picture of the Christian faith, systematic theology, Book of Romans is the one to go to. All right? Remember that. That's helpful. 1 Corinthians, remember this. It's a book of correction. He tried to get these people, help them get on track. Okay, they're loving Jesus. They're loving Jesus. But let me help you stay on track. Okay, a little bit. Help you out a little bit. So this is where we are, and we're going to look a little bit at some of the things in 1 Corinthians here. And as we see how he makes this one of these introductory statements, look at 1 Corinthians 1:20. Now he's communicating to this society, this group of people, and he says, "Where is the wise man? Where is the scholar? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world?" Okay, God is moving into this situation. It is his wisdom that is going to override the situation of this corrupt culture. His wisdom is what he's going to make foolish of the world. All right? So God is telling us that that's what he's doing. God has made foolish the wisdom of the world. God is going to give us base knowledge, okay, where to start from. And from this base knowledge, he's going to give us the ability to deal with this erroneous, immoral, corrupt wisdom. Amen? Could we apply it today? I don't think we're as bad as Corinth was. I don't think we are yet. I think we're on our way, but I don't think we're there. All right? So this applies. He's going to help us how to stand up with this society that's totally turning their back on the principles of Christ. He's going to tell us how to handle this. And this is a base knowledge of what we should know. Now, this next verse, to me, I have always thought is fascinating. But 1 Corinthians 1:21, God is communicating to us. And again, it's his mind and how he's moving into incredibly difficult situations. For since, in the wisdom of God, the world, through its wisdom, did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Now process that. Oh, God, look at this mess. I don't know what's going to happen. How could it happen? Lord, what are you going to do? He goes, oh, by the way, for since, in the wisdom of God, the world, through its wisdom, does not know him. He says, this is my wisdom to show you they don't know nothing. Is that what it says? That's amazing. I mean, that is amazing. So I have another slide, but just where I kind of broke it out just a little bit. All right, so here we have. And I want y'all to process this with me. Because in our life, in our world that we live in, I know we ask these questions. I know we ask this question. It starts in the wisdom of God. So God knows what's going on. He's thinking this out. He's processing. God knows. This is his wisdom. The world, through its wisdom, does not know God. Where in the world, outside the church, are you going to find God's wisdom? Not happening. He's not going to let it happen. That's the other thing. See, in God's wisdom, man in this world cannot know God. In the futility of the world's wisdom, man will not discover the reality of God's salvation and eternal life. God meant it that way. They go, well, I found a new way. Oh, maybe now. It ain't going to be helpful. You know? If you watch it to its end, you will see it. All right? But you take a bite and you take a hold and you go to the end and you have a destroyed life. God is trying to tell us up front, don't take that step because I see where it's going. You need to know. I'm telling you up front. The world's wisdom works against man as he creates his own false narratives to live by. Oh, the wisdom of man. Oh, the wisdom of the government. Oh, the wisdom, you know, we're going to get the right elected officials. The wisdom of things. And God said, their wisdom is going to work against what I intend. No, I am not going to bless their wisdom. I'm not going to do it. See, and what we have this is man creates his own false narratives to live by, God is going to undercut it because they're false narratives. See, an immoral and corrupt culture of the world's wisdom is evidence of its failure. It's evidence. You look, it's falling apart. That's right. It's evidence of the world's failure. And he's telling us up front, I know this, I know what's happening. It's not going to work out the way they intended. In God's wisdom, the world's wisdom is a failure. Amen? That's what he says. That's what he says. So he is not surprised by any of this. Not only is he not surprised, it's evidence of what he already knew would happen, where it's going to go, and what is going to happen. See, it is, and again, he's telling us up front. He's telling us up front so we don't take those steps and go down that path and we come at the end of our life in a total disaster. He's telling us up front. See, now you can take the wrong turn and you can go all the way to the end and you can be at the end of your life and say, this is a disaster. Okay, because that's what's going to happen. He's just telling us up front so we will know. That's what he's doing. So this was God's wisdom. Now, the second one here, which is, and I don't know, I read these things, you know, this is fascinating. It's fascinating to me. All right, I hope you're fascinated. I'm just fascinated, all right? But it says God was pleased. I mean, I would think I'd look at this mess and, oh, what a mess. I'm sick to death. I said, no, I was pleased. I am pleased. I am pleased to work man's wisdom against him. I am pleased to work that against him. Why? Because it's taking him away from God. I am pleased to work it against him. So God is pleased through the, and then he goes, he was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save them. Hallelujah. I just got new energy and I read that. Okay? He is pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those. So you got the whole thing, excuse my language, going to hell in the handbasket. God, what are you going to do? Well, we're going to just put a few preachers out there and tell them, this is what God says. This is what God says. This is what God says. See? I always love Paul's call. To me, it's fascinating. When they called the Apostle Paul, and Apostle Paul wrote 3/4 of the New Testament, all right? And so, and had a, you know, probably other than Jesus Christ, one of the greatest impacts on the church. I mean, we're standing here probably because of the Apostle Paul's writings, you know, in a human sense. And he told Paul, he says, well, go to Ananias, and Ananias will tell you how much you have to suffer for me. Paul was a preacher. He's like, I'm going to have you up. All these folks, you just preach to them. Just preach that, because that's my way. I'm telling you how much you have to suffer. You're going to preach to them. See? So his method, think about what God is saying here. The method is, in this world, how is he going to impact this world? What we say. What we say. That's how he impacts it. I'm going to lead a demonstration. I'm going to go throw rocks through windows. You know, I'm going to run my car, you know, through the White House. I'm going to do something, you know. No, that's not. It's what you say. What you say. That's what the whole thing he's telling us, that the wisdom comes from the foolishness that what is preached. Amen? And this is important for us to understand, because we get different views of what we're supposed to do, you know, and then we tag holy onto it. Okay? And God, that's not what I said. That's not what I said. This is, again, this is base knowledge. This is where you start. Okay, so here's the base knowledge. So, it's the foolishness of what is preached. This is God's wisdom. Okay? What is the baseline preaching for an immoral and corrupt culture? What's the baseline preaching? Next slide. This is it. See? This is it. Well, it is this. I'm going to start this movement. I'm going to do this movement. I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to do that. Okay, hallelujah. Have at it. Go to it. And I'm sure people, God calls people to do different things. But this is what God says. No, this is what you do. This is what you do. We preach Christ crucified. And if you don't preach Christ crucified, what you're doing is not going to have eternal value. I'm going to feed the poor. I'm going to fatten them up for hell. There's no eternal value. You feed the poor. You preach Christ crucified for eternity. You see what I'm saying? I will work with this marital. There's marital problems in these people so they can finally live together and so they can live together and be happy the rest of their life, you know, as they are doomed to hell. No, you work with a couple and you preach Christ crucified. And then as they work things together for glory for all eternity. Baseline knowledge, we preach Christ crucified. You come to a church, they need to preach Christ crucified. That's where they start. Or don't go. Don't go. In fact, the Bible tells you, don't go. See, they got to preach Christ crucified. This is where you start. Now, there's bunches of stuff that flows out of this. But it's all on the foundation of Christ crucified. Amen? Don't be out here. Come back to the basic of Christ crucified. If we don't grasp this, we'll spend time hours in meaningless conversations. Meaningless time wasted. Christ crucified. Tell me what you believe, you know, in 25 words or less. How about two? Christ crucified. See, I mean, and that's what it is. That's the basis, that's the foundation of what we believe. And that's what Paul's telling us here. That's what he's telling us here. So when we preach Christ crucified, him crucified, it undercuts every religious and intellectual argument. I don't care how smart they are. I don't care where they're coming from. I don't care what their religious beliefs are. We undercut everything they say by saying, we believe in Christ crucified. That's what we believe. Well, this, that sounds interesting. We preach Christ crucified. Boy, you're narrow. Yep. Christ crucified. Now, if we want to spin off of that and talk about other things, well, that's it. There's lots of stuff to talk about on the foundation of Christ crucified. See? You see what I'm saying? So as you start in those discussions, and there's legitimate questions, as you start in those questions, but it gets over here, well, what about this? You come back here, Christ crucified. And then you start moving out again to whatever argument or discussion you have, but you stand on Christ crucified. Amen? I mean, this is really, really helpful, okay? This upsets all religious thought. All religious thought. It really does. It upsets every religious thought. There isn't one religion that measures up to this. None, okay? God died for us. God paid the penalty for us. Christ crucified. Well, what about XYZ religion? Interesting. Just follow it. See what happens, which we know is doomed to destruction. What do you believe? Christ crucified. Because we know we're forgiven. What is your tool to fight with? Our mouth. Christ crucified. Not you're an idiot. Christ crucified. Not you have a stupid religion. No, it's Christ crucified. Do you see what I'm saying? That is the focus, and this is how we impact the world. That's how the early church spread. In this corrupt seaport town, immoral, corrupt seaport town, Paul said, preach Christ crucified. Don't get off of that. Don't get off of that. So we need to have that process. It needs to be seared into our minds. Seared into our minds. Now, I want a little side note, okay? A little side note here. And this is helpful, a little information that's helpful, all right? Is it's significant that it says Christ crucified. Christ crucified. It doesn't say, as you notice, Jesus crucified. There's actually a difference in the Bible. Now, this is kind of now, this is where I can just get off on it. They say, well, let's get back to talking about Christ crucified. Jeez. Okay, but here's one of the little tidbits in life you can know as you go through the scripture. There is a difference when God talks about Jesus and when he talks about Christ. Okay? It's Jesus Christ. It's one person. Okay? It's just, you know, like you holler at your, you know, say, Billy Bob Jones, you know, and say, Billy, come home, you know, so your mother's calling you. No, okay. Billy, come home. No, she doesn't mean it. Billy, come home. No, he doesn't mean it. Billy Bob Jones, I better go. I got the whole name. That's how kind of Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ. There's a significance in those names. Now, Jesus is human name. It's his human name. Your name is whatever. My name is Wallace. That's my human name. Jesus' human name was Jesus. Christ is Jesus' heavenly description. Christ is Jesus' heavenly description. It means Messiah. It means the anointed one. It means the Son of God. Jesus, the Messiah. Jesus, the anointed one. Jesus, the Son of God. Okay, so it's significant that it says Christ was crucified. Was Jesus crucified? Yep. The human was crucified. But Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, the anointed one, was crucified. God himself was crucified. So that we know, when we say Christ crucified, we're saying God himself, God creator of the universe through the Lord Jesus Christ, was crucified. Not just the human. The human. So anyway, appreciate that little tidbit you can carry with you, all right? Now here we go. And so now we see this Paul is presenting to these people. These are new believers. Okay, these are new believers in a corrupt society, you know. And they're just praising Jesus. He said, okay, don't you ever forget, you preach Christ crucified. Christ crucified. Then he goes on and he gives you a little encouragement, some attributes of this Christ, the Son of God, who was crucified. Okay, he gives you a few attributes here. And as he's beginning this explanation of correction, of correction to be sure and do these things. Now look at 1 Corinthians 1:24. All right. Now this is helpful to us. This is for us to use right now today. Okay? This helps us as we proceed anything. It helps give us discernment. It helps us to speak in the situation. It helps us have wisdom on what's going on around us. It's very helpful. Now he's telling us here in 1 Corinthians 1:24, just following through, he says, to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. Now you note up there, I put after whom God has called. That literally, the word is the called. That's what it means. And when I read it, I don't know, that means more to me. But I looked at three or four Bibles and they all have this, whom God has called. But they all have footnotes that it literally means the called. So what it says to the called, Christ is the power of God. To the called, Christ is the wisdom of God. Now I said, are you the called? Are you the called? When you accepted Christ, you're the called. You're the called. I don't know how before, whether you called or how that worked, but I know now that you're here, you're the called. You're the called. See? So the message is too about Christ crucified is the called. So you're going to talk to a whole bunch of people. Are they the called? It beats me. But he said, tell them all, Christ crucified, because we are the called. We are the called. So the called, and this is what we believe, the called, us. People outside the building, and you know, I mean, non-believing people outside the building, non-believing people, okay, they're not the called, so they don't see this, and so we have a message to speak, but he's telling us who we are. The called, Christ is what? Christ is what? He's the power of God. So we step out and we say, Christ crucified. And we're stepping out in what? The power of God. Things change. Things change because we show up. We are the power of God. Well, where do I go with this? I don't know what to say. Okay, if you have nothing to say, just go, Christ crucified. Good. That's all I got. All you need. Okay, now we can grow and develop on that. Probably after that encounter, you probably want to go, let me study up on this. I probably should think of something else to say. I need to see something else the Lord says. But I know I'm on good ground when I say that. When I say that. What about this? Beats me, but I know Christ is crucified. See? I'll go study that. And I'll study it on the basis of Christ crucified. And he is the power of God. That means when you say Christ crucified, the power of God goes out of our mouth and touches everybody. Our presence touches everybody. Because Christ is the power of God. See? Base knowledge. But I don't know everything. You're not Jesus. You never will know everything. I just hate to tell you that. See what I'm saying? We're all on different levels of dumbness. All right? So we just go, Christ crucified. And we'll learn a couple of things. And, oh, Christ crucified and he died for me. And I have a spiritual gift. Just found that out. You know? Well, what else you know? That's all I know right now. But I know Christ is crucified. I have a home in heaven. See? Drives the world crazy. They go crazy. Drives every other religion crazy. Because every other religion is false. The only true religion is Christ crucified. Amen? So it is the power of God. Now look, the next one, it's different. Christ, the wisdom of God. I don't know anything. You know Christ crucified? Well, yes. That's all you need to know. That's all you need to know. I mean, you're standing before the pearly gates. God goes, why should I let you in? You go, Christ crucified. Come on. Come on in. You know? Okay, got in. That's good. You know? Boy, dumb as a post, but I got in. All right, you see what I'm saying? Let's keep it in perspective. Now, we want to learn more on Christ crucified, and we can have an intelligent discussion. But with Christ crucified, we got Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. And so we're up on everybody else in the world. Do you see that? And if they're swirling around in their spiritual ignorance, I mean, that's their issue, not ours. But we're on that basis, and we continue to grow out in that. All right? And so that's the reason you always want to go to church that preaches Christ crucified. You listen to some religious guru, and if they don't say Christ crucified, have anything to do with them. You see what I'm saying? It's got to be the foundation. Now, granted, I could get up here Sunday morning, and we could go, and I'd do a good 30 minutes, and I will say in 30 minutes, how many times could I say Christ crucified? You know, after I said, come on, Wallace, I got that. So I do enjoy this sharing other stuff. But the foundation has to be Christ crucified. Amen? But it has to be with us too. It's the power and wisdom of God. That's where we got. That's where we start. Supernatural. Supernatural. Now, not only is that fascinating, the Apostle Paul. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. The church in its doctrine, you know, the majority of the doctrine, is established on what the Apostle Paul wrote through the scripture. I mean, all the scripture is foundational and none of it's to be taken lightly. It's just the New Testament. Paul just had a lot to write, all right? And so we base on what he said. Okay, so the Apostle Paul has a lot to say, doesn't he? Amen? Look at this. 1 Corinthians 2:2. We're just moving on the book. Look what Apostle Paul says. Look what he says. 1 Corinthians 2:2. I resolve to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and him crucified. He said it. The guy, probably one of the most brilliant theologians ever. Paul, what do you know? No, no, nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Why should we think we ought to know more? What do you know? I mean, I'll recite, you know, some commentary to you. No, Jesus Christ and him crucified, that's all I know. That's all. You get in this great big argument, and you know, the intellectuals that are doomed to hell. What do you know? I don't know anything but Jesus Christ, him crucified. And I have a home in heaven. Drives them nuts, by the way. So that probably shouldn't be your motivation. Shouldn't be. But there is a spiritual, you know, we know that. We stand strong. Now we build off of that. Again, we build off of that. Christ crucified. Amen? Now, here is some. Now, I don't know if y'all do this, but when I read through something like this, I go, why? Okay, well, why couldn't it be Christ crucified and, you know, a few other things, and we can talk about this, and, you know. It's like, no, no, you want to go always back to Christ crucified. Always want to go back to Christ. That wants to be your foundation. Don't let your foundation be on anything else. And here's why. That's what I like about the scripture. If you read it long enough, it'll tell you why. Read in context, it will tell you why. This is why. This is why this is God's wisdom. This is why this is God's wisdom. I love the why. 1 Corinthians 1:31. So that, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. That's why. That is the why. What do you believe? Christ crucified. What do you boast in? Christ crucified. I'm boasting I'm going to heaven. Christ crucified. I boast I'm forgiven. Christ crucified. I boast in the Lord. I boast that he died for me. I boast that he loved me. I boast that he paid the penalty for me. I boast in Jesus. You know what God wants us to boast in? He actually, now he says it's okay. I mean, he says boast, you know. But here's what he wants us to boast in. Jesus. Listen, now I want to tell you the demonic thing about this. What do you hear on television? What do you hear in the news? What do you hear? Now, don't say anything about Jesus. Why? Because we don't want that word. The demonic world doesn't want that word. And we're going to boast in Jesus. That's all you got to do. And it upsets the whole demonic world. I mean, Satan goes in a tailspin. In fact, when you say Christ crucified, now you're going to love this. He may take special interest in you. If you ever notice that? You say, Christ, he's going to take special notice in you. You know, don't do that. I don't have to worry about these billions of people just running around there lost. But those people saying Christ crucified, I can't understand that. I got to shut them up. So we have special attention. And what do we answer? All the demonic things. Christ crucified. One small word and the devil falls. Christ crucified. And we stand as it comes. All the negative, all the things coming out. Christ crucified. I believe in you and you alone. I boast in Jesus. See? Amen. There it is. So what do we have here? Base knowledge. Always start here. Always start here. Now, next week, I'm going to share on a different subject. Okay, we'll kind of go through this. But I'm not going to say at the session, Christ crucified. But everything I say will be based on Christ crucified. You see what I'm saying? That's what you got to know. I don't have to say Christ crucified every time I open my mouth. But everything I say has to be based on my knowledge that Christ is crucified and my belief that he's a crucified. And you see what I'm saying here? Okay. And so we continue to grow and we continue to teach this. Now, and here's something we have to understand about the world system. God will not bless a world system that will turn people away from him. Well, if they did good and maybe these good things could happen, then you would bless that system to turn those people away. God said, no, I'm not blessing that system. In fact, I'm going to work against that system. I'm going to work against that wisdom so they'll see the failure of it so people will turn to me. Well, how are they going to know? And everybody raises their hands. Christ crucified. Well, what am I going to tell them? Christ crucified. You see what I'm saying? And he tells us. And he's talking to these people in Corinth. Read on Corinth. There's certain commentaries, I read and read about Corinth. I'd be embarrassed to read to you what they say about them. It's like, oh my gosh, this is like some kind of porn book. I don't want to know how bad these folks were, And see, he goes, no, what do you do? You preach Christ crucified, all right? Now, from that, other things spin off. So, hallelujah, that's the thing, base knowledge. Amen? Okay, here we go. Praise Jesus. We praise Jesus and the great blessing, financial blessing. But that's no financial blessing without Christ crucified. Christ crucified makes that a financial blessing. Christ crucified anointed the person who gave it. Christ crucified is the one who works through the things. Amen? You see how that works? And so God is telling us and he's communicating those things to us so that we understand. And he's, through Christ crucified, he's showing his self-sacrificial love for us. If you were the only person in the world, he would have died for you. He would have died for you. He'd pick you up and say, no, you're not going to die. You're saved. I'm going to die in your place. That's what he did for every one of us. In fact, I think there's a little theology here that kind of hurts my head that he actually did that. He actually did that. He actually died for me. He actually died for Brian. He actually died for Joe. When he went to the cross, he really did. Took Joe's stuff. Took Brian's stuff, Wallace's stuff. He did it. He really did do it. See, we think, oh, it's just kind of a general, woo, boom, got it all. No, I think it was individually he took our sins. Because in his sovereignty, he knew that, and he took it. And we took communion. He goes, do this always in remembrance of me. What a remembering. His death. I never could figure that. Why don't I remember you? No, because I took it for you. Amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, here, we'll close here with a great verse. I love this verse so much, 2 Corinthians. Now, 2 Corinthians was the book after 1 Corinthians, so he's, wrapping things up here. But look at this. Doesn't this even grasp and make so much more sense as we possess it and hold on to it? Christ crucified. This cripples every human and intellectual argument. Cripples every argument. See, folks, here we stand. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf so that we might become the righteousness of God. He goes, I'm going to make these people. I died for Wallace. I took all his sin. Now he's as righteous as God and standing because there's no sin on him. working on his behavior, you know, and walk through and hope he learns a little bit. But I entered him, and there's no sin held against him. As far as I see, he's as righteous as Jesus, and Jesus took all that sin. But he did it for you. He did it for everyone. Preach Christ crucified. Amen. When we stand, we'll praise Jesus. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for who you are. God, just I think we get all wrapped up in the things of theology and the Bible, but the absolute infinite thought of that God himself would die for us, take upon our sins, that we are forgiven. And he says, just believe in me. I died for you. Just believe in me. Just believe me, and you believe me, and I'm Christ, the power of God. I'm Christ, the wisdom of God. All about Jesus. All about Jesus. In the name of Jesus.